Saga Egmont presents The Beachside Christmas by Karen Clark, read by Willow Nash. Chapter 1.
No one's died here, if that's what you're worried about.
I turned, surprised that the estate agent had misinterpreted my silence. I'm not worried, I said, whipping out a smile. I looked a bit stern when I was being serious, according to Max. Don't think about Max.
Someone famous lived here a while back.
Alfie Blake ran a nervous finger between his neck and shirt collar.
Isabel Sinclair?
Never heard of her. I felt a bit sorry for Alfie. He looked too young to be selling property, as if he was on work experience.
Is she an actress?
No, but she went on Morning Sunshine, trying to get our local sweet shop closed down, he said.
It didn't work. And suddenly they'd moved out.
Well, I'm glad they did. My eyes switched back to the view through the latticed window. Despite the gunmetal sky befitting early November, there was a triangle of sea just visible, and I imagined jogging along the beach, the wind tossing my hair, blasting away the stress of the past 6 months. I hated jogging, but it was bound to be more relaxing by the sea.
The garden doesn't look great at this time of year, but there's a decent-sized shed, and there aren't too many shrubs. And I know the apple tree looks a bit crap at the moment, pardon my French, and there's a shed. Did I mention that?
You did. Alfie joined me at the window, clutching his clipboard like a Bible.
Have you been to Shipley before, Miss Ambrose?
Lily, I said automatically. I came here on holiday a few times with my family years ago. My lips curled in a smile as a succession of happy snapshots flooded my mind. Eating sandy sandwiches on the beach, my brother chasing me into the sea, then mounting a panicky rescue when I floated out too far, Dad's startlingly hairy legs in his holiday shorts, hurtling after our beach ball, Mum, red-shouldered in her summer dress, trying to read a romance through her sunglasses. I always wanted to come back, I said. Though, in truth, I'd been perfectly happy in London before my life blew up.
It's a bit quiet.
Alfie's youthful brow puckered.
I mean, it's nice for older people.
Hey, I'm barely 30, I protested, though that was probably ancient to him.
Oh, no, I didn't mean... I just meant... I mean...
Alfie's cheeks looked as if someone had taken a blowtorch to them. It was easy to imagine what he must have looked like as a toddler, with his wholesome face and swell of chestnut curls.
What I meant was...
It's okay, I said, putting him out of his misery. I'm planning to write a novel, so quiet is perfect for me. I liked the way it sounded. I'm a novelist. Sounded more exciting than primary school teacher. Not that Alfie was impressed, or even listening.
I bet it's noisy in London, what with all that traffic, the shops and people.
He made it sound as if London was one long street, filled with ear-splitting car horns and deafening music.
There won't be any of that here, he went on wistfully. Most you'll hear is seagulls. They're bloody noisy. Pardon my French.
I can handle that, I said, glancing around the living room, which was painted the colour of mayonnaise, or vanilla dream, as Alfie informed me, faithfully checking his clipboard. The cottage was palatial compared to places I'd lived in before. A room in a student house, a pokey studio flat, then my childhood home in East Finchley, where I'd been living for nearly 3 years since Dad died.
Your money goes a lot further out here,
Alfie said brightly, switching back into sales mode. Not that he needed to. I'd as good as bought the cottage already. I'd found it online a couple of weeks earlier, hunched over my laptop in the middle of the night, desperate to be somewhere else. I typed in Shipley, figuring it was as good a place as any to flee to, and some frantic scrolling had brought me to Sea View Cottage. The owners were so keen for a sale, they were even throwing in a few classy pieces of furniture they hadn't got room for in their new place, and after a tour through the gallery of photos, I'd booked a viewing. I couldn't afford anything like this in London, I said, the words provoking a painful lurch as I recalled the daydreams I used to have of Max and me buying our own place once his divorce was finalised.